Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's radio show, which is also a podcast, so you can go out and listen to all the shows that you haven't heard up until now. I'm Pat Sloan, and this is exciting. I have got some really fun stuff today, and first up, I get to talk to Kristen Rolance from Cute Quilt Patterns, and really, I like to make quilts that are cute. And so this name really spoke to me, and I've met Kristen, and it's just so exciting to be able to have her on the show and talk a little bit about her quilt making and her newest book, which of course has the word cute in it, has to have the word cute in it. Hi, Kristen. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pat. Thank you.
I am so happy to talk to you again. It's been a little while.
It has been a while.
Yeah. I'll be seeing you, though, in a few weeks, right? Hopefully.
Yep.
So tell me, you have quilters in your family. What do you remember? What's like the earliest thing you remember about quilts?
No, my first thing probably is just as a little child, toting around the quilt that my grandma had made for me. She was a fantastic piecer, and then she also hand quilted all of her quilts. That's my first memory, and probably, but my first for me really at all involved with quilting, she would have a quilt set up in her basement every time we went to her home. And so we'd play underneath it and push the needles back up. And my sister and I have pictures of, and show how old I am, but the Band-Aid packages that were like metal tins, they'd be sitting on top of the quilt with Band-Aids all over them from us sticking our fingers. You know, I'm sure my grandma ticked each of those stitches after we left.
Oh my. Those are like really great memories, aren't they?
They are fun, yeah.
Now, when did you make your first quilt?
My first quilt, with the help of my mom, I was probably about 12 years old. And at the church, growing up in a church youth group, we made them for theater tests. It was actually a baby quilt as well. Probably about 12. And that one, you know, was tied, and then my mom helped me bind it. But just a little one, and then the first big quilt was probably about the time I was in college. I dabbled a little bit, but not. Mm-hmm. I didn't really do anything too seriously for quite a while.
I'm always amazed when people tell me that they made quilts in college because, you know, I sewed in college too, but nobody, not a single other person. Did I find so during school? But it's great when I hear, you know, did you have other friends that sewed when you were in college?
You know what? None of my roommates did that I remember. not really.
Yeah.
I think it was something that kind of came across just because of my family. Mm-hmm. And more than anything.
Yeah, I think it's like we have something inside of us. We just have to do it. And it doesn't matter that we're the only people doing this.
This
sewing thing. You have, Kristen, you have just the most adorable quilts. And one of the things that you specialize in my mind a little bit, you specialize in baby quilts.
I do.
Yeah, because like even on your site, you have a whole section called boy baby quilts and girl baby quilts. What makes you feel so connected to designing quilts for babies?
You know, probably part of it, I have six children of my own, and so we've had a baby in our house, it seems like, for forever. and I love baby quilts because they're small enough that I can get them finished in a day or two. Sometimes that's all the time I have to get something done. And so that's probably part of it as well. But I just love babies. If I could keep them babies forever, I would.
You're a baby girl. Is that it?
I am.
Yes. I know. And do you have a lot of friends who have, you know, keep having babies, or are you now on to having quilts for grandmas too?
You know, I'm kind of at that. I hit 40 last year, and so I'm kind of at the. Most of my friends are getting finished up, but I've got nieces and nephews and things. So there's always babies to make quilts for.
Right. It, you know, there are some people who actually keep like stacks of baby quilts. Do you do that? That you could give away?
I'm kind of, I usually make a quilt with someone specifically in mind, so I don't
Okay.
necessarily, you know, I have the stacks of quilts I've made for my own children that I can't give away because I would be disowned. But yeah, I usually make a quilt with a certain person in mind, so I don't necessarily have a stack of them anywhere.
You know, I have to ask you, with having six children of your own, that's you're a very busy lady, and you do a lot of things, besides being a designer. You have your website and you have the books you've written and the patterns. How do you have some organizational tips for people to that are
Oh,
dealing with
I
a
did.
busy life?
We kind of fly by the seat of our pants in our house a little bit. My older kids are really good about helping out, and so that helps a lot with organization and stuff. I really don't have any tips. If anyone has some they want to share with me, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, I know it's very busy when you have a lot of people who are calling you mom. So,
Yep.
plus I bet they have friends who come in too.
They do, yeah,
Yeah.
and that's fun actually. It kind of distracts them, and I hear my name a little bit less when friends are over.
Yeah. There you go. That's the key. Invite the friends over. And
Yep.
so tell me about your book. Your book's called Cute Quilts for Kids, from
Yes.
that patchwork place. And the cover is so adorable with little cars on it and a chevron. Tell me about the patterns in the book.
Okay, the book is full of 9 different quilts. Probably, I don't know, I don't have the book in front of me. Probably about 4 of them are for boys and 5 are for girls. They all, you know, they all have dimensional aspects to them, some fun things that kind of set them apart a little bit. The one on the front actually has a racetrack that goes around the border, and then you can park the cars in the stop sign as a way to keep those safe and tucked away.
Oh, that's so
Lots
cool.
of ruffles and rickrack,
So the
just some
dimensional
fun things to
stuff
look up.
is really the kids really like the dimensional stuff.
Mine do. They love to play with the textures and the ruffles and anything that they can grab onto. You know, I think if anyone's held a child, they instantly grab hair or necklaces or anything they can get their hands on. And that's kind of with these quilts. I think that's what happens too. They like to explore the different dimensional objects.
Now, when you have like something like ruffles, and I've never done that for a baby's quilt. So is there is there maybe an age group that you should, maybe not give ruffles to, or does it matter?
You know, the way that they're put on the quilt, they're attached, you know, really securely. I think they're great for newborns, but I have a teenage daughter that loves ruffles too. So I think they can go any age group, really.
Okay. So there really isn't any worry about it. They're secured on there tight enough. It's not like.
Yeah, they're all sewn. Most of them are sewn into the seam, and if not, they're sewn, you know, right down the middle, so they're very secure. I've never, even with, and you know, you wash baby quilts all the time, and I've never had any come off at all.
Oh, perfect. Well, that's good to know because I've not done that on a child's quilt. I've never put any dimension personally on a child's quilt. It's always been, really just the patchwork. So neat, neat, neat. Now, do you have a favorite one yourself in your book? You're allowed to tell me if you do.
That's kind of a tricky one. Probably my favorite one in the book is the butterfly kisses quilt with the dimensional butterfly wings. That's been a favorite of mine, and I've noticed my little girls when they have been using it, I'll find little objects inside the wings. When I wash it, I'm always surprised what comes out. So that's probably my favorite one.
So they actually these little wings are like little pockets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
That
they can
is
touch Cheerios and pour things like that in there, and until they come out in the wash, I'm not even sure what was in there.
Yeah.
It is kind of a fun treasure hunt.
Now, on your website, which is cutequiltpatterns.com, you have a couple of tutorials that I think are just So adorable. And going on the ruffle theme, you have a whole ruffle tree skirt. Tell me about that
Okay.
because it looks incredible.
Oh, thank you. And that one, that is actually a super quick, do it in an hour or two and you're
Oh my
done.
gosh, really?
And I on the tutorial, I believe I used a glue gun. It's been a few years since I did that. But I, pre since then, I've discovered the washable glue stick, and I would probably use that to get it on first and then stitch the ruffles down. That's the only thing I'd probably change about that tutorial. But yeah, we put it on our Christmas tree the last 3 years, and it's really fun. The kids love it.
And it could just go so many directions too. I could see, with all the fun fabrics that are out there for the holidays. I mean, lots of
Right.
different options. And then you also have this really cute pin cushion that you wear on your wrist that's a great big flower. That is so
Right.
sweet. Is it got like elastic to wear?
I put it on an actual bracelet, a
Oh.
gold band bracelet. But you could put elastic. Elastic would work just fine. I just chose to use something a little bit more heavy duty that would stay in place.
And it
And this,
has
it's
dimension.
actually the flower on that is very similar to some of the flowers on the quilts that I make.
Okay.
So you can kind of get a taste for what those flowers are like if you look at that tutorial.
Yeah, and it's very polished, very finished looking. I really, really
Thank
like
you.
it. Now, Kristen, I have to say one more thing and tell people that you not only do you have lots of quilt makers in your family, but your family business, one of your husband's businesses, is running a quilt site, which is
It
fun.
is. It is. Yeah. He works with he, his company works with local quilt stores doing websites, and then as part of that, they also own the free quilt patterns.info website,
Yeah, so every
which is a great resource if you're looking for free patterns or ideas or Pat's block of the month or mystery block of the month this
Yeah.
year. There's a fabulous one up on that. They
It's
also just
awesome.
added a new resource, so if you're looking for a specific fabric, you can put that in there and it will show up what local quilt stores carry that.
Thank you, Kristen. This has been wonderful.
Thanks, Pat. So fun to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To store a matching spool and bobbin together, thread both onto a long pipe cleaner and twist the pipe cleaner ends together.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. And I just want to give you Kristen's website again, which is cutequiltpatterns.com. And so I'm so excited. There's a book that came out called Never Been Stitched. Now, isn't that a clever title? 45 no-sew and low-sew projects. Low-sew meaning just a little bit of sewing. And it's adorable, absolutely adorable. Amanda Carestio is the designer and the author of this book. She has brought in a lot of other people to contribute. And so it's just fantastic. So I'm going to get her on here to talk about the type of projects that we might do with all of that lovely fabric that we own. So, hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pat. Thanks so much for having me.
This is so exciting. I always love to find new ways to use the fabric that I own. Don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We have to find ways to use it. So we can buy more. So we can buy more. That's right, because there's always new stuff we have to own. Sure. This is with Lark. That's the publisher.
That's right.
And you've written several books like this that have been sort of a several people contributing to your sort of thought process and your building of it. How do you get an idea for these type of books?
You know, it's really a collaborative process here, and a really fun and creative process as well. And this one, you know, started with a really specific audience in mind. We were really hoping to appeal to general crafters, to sewers who needed to take a break from the sewing machine, particularly after a busy holiday season. And also, you know, on a really personal note, to new moms who are chasing toddlers and may not have as much creative time as they once did, and kind of have to fit it in where they can.
That's like Kristen with her 6 children. So,
goodness. I'll have my one and my dog, and that's plenty for me. It's plenty busy.
So tell me a little bit about the projects that are in here, like the size of them, the style of them.
Sure. You know, that's one of the things I actually love most about doing a multi-designer, multi-contributor book is that there's really a range of styles, and I think it's really kind of fun to see that. And on the reader end, it's exciting and interesting to see all of those options. But let's see here. The other really fun thing about this, and the thing that made it hard, is that I'm a sewer and a quilter and a new crocheter, but you really kind of had to think outside the box, and you also kind of had to go to other parts of the craft store for the supplies for this book, which is kind of refreshing and fun. So there's decoupage projects. There are projects that involve really not anything too technical, but interesting types of cutting. There's wrapping, knotting. There's a lot of fusible web. There are grommets. So they're really it's kind of refreshing. You know, you're really taking a step back from the sewing machine. You might even go outside and hammer something, which is also very therapeutic. But I think it's a really fun mix of projects.
Now, tell me about the Queen Anne's lace, because that is your project that you designed, one of the ones. And I like it because that is one that I think you have to go to another place in the craft store besides the sewing aisle.
Right. And that there's no sewing on that one. That's all fusible web. And there are two panels, the shapes, they're applique shapes, just cut out and fused to a background linen and then stretched over canvases and stapled in place. So, you know, another chance for therapy with the staple gun. But I love that project. It's so simple. I think they make a really nice statement, and they're a set. I'm a sucker for sets of things, and these are just really fun and even a little bit elegant, I think.
I think so, too. You've done them on a gorgeous gray linen, and they just pop with that sort of – what is the fabric you use for the actual stems? It's kind of like a goldish green color.
You know, I wish I had that. It's gone from my mind. I've been –
But was it cotton? It's a
cotton. It's a quilter's cotton, and it's a specific designer. I'm sorry, I can't remember it off the top of my head.
No problem. I was just wondering if it was something besides cotton. So
nope.
It's just
nope.
Because it's really, really pretty. And I think that they do look very elegant. They could go a gorgeous gift, like a housewarming gift for somebody.
Absolutely. I think there's actually quite a few things in the book that make great gifts, and that's a really nice thing to have if you've got a last minute birthday party, or you're looking forward to next holiday.
It's nice that you don't have to sign your life away to be able to make something nice for someone.
Right. Not slaving for 3 weeks over
exactly.
the machine. Another one in the book that I thought we could talk about would be the round robin rug. Because mm-hmm. I personally am totally fascinated by putting fabric on the floor.
Right.
Because we have such pretty fabric that looks like rugs to me a lot of times. And can you just tell us a little bit about that project?
Sure. It's a really simple sewing project. It's actually one of my other favorites in the book, and we have projects mailed to us, and then we handle photography on our end. And then sometimes the projects come home with us. Looking around my house, it's like a little trip through down memory lane. There's uh-huh. projects from so many books, particularly in my daughter's room. But this one is just a big piece of vintage canvas, and it's sewn with a regular cotton fabric backing with a cute little pom-pom edge. And the weight of the canvas gives it some heft and really kind of keeps it in place on the floor. But it's lovely fabric. It's got such a fun look, and it's such a nice pop of color. And I think it's also just an interesting way to bring a fun fabric into your house in a different way.
Yeah, and there are like little mats that you can put under it if it's sliding. Like if you
absolutely, yeah, you could do that with this one.
Yeah, because you can actually cut it to size, and this one is shown on a hardwood floor, so you probably mm-hmm. would need to get a little stabilizer under it.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about Fusible, because when you and I had talked earlier, you said that you know there are a lot of projects in here. Do you have some tips for us for working with Fusible?
I think it's interesting because Fusible is used in so many ways. I mean, there are there's a Roman shade in the book that uses, you know, it doesn't have a single seam. It's used. Uses hem tape to bind the edges. And then there's also projects that use Fusible web for applique, and you've got the option to either finish the edge or leave it raw and let it fray as it will in mm-hmm. the washing machine. But for me, it's been a multi-year love affair with Fusible webbing. There's so much you can do with it, and mm-hmm. I think for me, it really started with mini quilts and kind of freeing yourself up. If you're not finishing your edge, there's so much more you can do there, and you can kind of move quickly and really kind of creatively and explore. And I think that's why I fell in love. And then I think this book is kind of a nice end cap to that, because it shows all of the really practical ways that you can mm-hmm. use it. You know, instead of finishing a seam, you can use hem tape. It's just got a lot of practical applications as well.
Now, I want to talk about repurposing. Mm-hmm. Just to sort of wrap up this segment a little bit, because repurposing fabric, you have a few projects in here, and you yourself are really excited about taking fabric from one thing and turning it into something else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, big picture, it's there's something really lovely about extending the life of a piece of fabric. Mm-hmm. But there's really a practical aspect to it as well. When you're thinking about projects that are low sew and no sew, there are a lot of projects in the book that call for fabric that already has finished edges. So there's a set of pillows in the book that uses a set of placemats, and you undo a little bit of the seam, stuff the interior of the placemat, and create really fun pillows really quickly. Mm-hmm. There's also a pillow in the book that is made from a tote bag. You snip the top of the tote bag off, finish the seam, and stuff it. And, you know, there are all kinds of fun opportunities there. The one in the book is an I Love Cats kind of kitschy but super fun mm-hmm. and creative pillow. I think it's about extending the life of fabric. There's also that transformation aspect that it's just, it's kind of captivating to see something go from one thing to a completely different use.
And I love the little sock monsters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. They're so cute. They are so cute.
That was that's an unexpected thing about the book is that people were really excited to make those in particular and a lot of the other projects in the book with kids because they are so approachable.
Yeah, so that is a good one that children could do,
the
sock monsters. Yes, I keep wanting. They're just, and then they have what, like beads for the eye or?
Mm-hmm. They're little, stuffed animal eyes.
Definitely.
So
okay. So, Amanda, tell me one thing just before we wrap it up. You gave yourself a challenge on color this year. How is it going? Are you using new colors?
Well, it's this year and it's in general. Having a daughter, I feel that I need to get out of my lime green and teal blue rut that I've been in. I love it, but I've been trying to get myself out of it and explore some other parts of the color wheel. So I've been trying to build my stash a little bit with some reds and pinks and purples because I know that's what she's going to be wanting very soon. Mm-hmm. I'd give myself a B minus at this point.
Well, you have lots of months yet to work on it.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. I can maybe pull it around.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, Amanda.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back to American Patchwork and Quilting podcast.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
I'm Jennifer Keltner here with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and today I'm in studio with Senior Editor Elizabeth Beasy. And Elizabeth and I are going to be talking about the exhibit that currently is on display at the Grand Central Terminal in New York City. And the exhibit runs from March 15th through July 6th of 2014. And Elizabeth, I want you to share with our listeners about the Grand Central Terminal Centennial Quilt Challenge.
So the exhibit is the culmination of a challenge that we did starting last year in April with the City Quilter, which is a quilt shop in Manhattan. Dale Reel and Kathy Izzo are the owners of that quilt shop, and they came to us with an idea about doing a quilt challenge based on Grand Central turning 100. And we thought it was a pretty fun idea, especially because it coincided with American Patchwork and Quilting's 20th birthday or anniversary. So we thought it would be fun to put the two together and do a quilt challenge. So in April last year is when the challenge started, and we asked our readers to make an original quilt, and they could use any techniques they wanted. The maximum would be 36-inch square, and they had to use one of four challenge fabrics, which were fabrics that the City Quilter designed for the centennial of Grand Central. So just to give you an idea of what those fabrics looked like, one of them was kind of a collage of all of the great historical pictures of Grand Central as well as some of their architectural elements. And then the other fabric was a constellation print of, if you've never been to Grand Central before, a lot of people still have seen, it has an iconic ceiling in the main concourse, and it's just a beautiful view of the heavens.
So from that challenge, we got 81 entries that came in from 25 states. And I think what was interesting, you and I were part of the judging team, as were the city quilters, Dale and Kathy. And when we got those entries in to judge the first round, where we looked at photographs of them, we had 81 entries from 25 states. And it was a really interesting mix of both art quilts, traditionally pieced quilts. And part of it was also that they had to share the story about what their quilt was trying to depict about Grand Central Terminal. Do you want to share with us a little bit then about how we went from those 81 quilts to the 30 finalists?
Yeah, so when we did the judging last fall, we asked 30 of those quilts, or 30 of those quilters, to send us their actual quilts. So those 30 finalists sent them all to us, and then we did a second round of judging where we looked at all of the quilts and read through, again, the amazing stories that the quilts were trying to depict, and came up with the top 12, and then finally narrowed that down to grand prize winner, first and second, and then 9 honorable mentions.
And what you can see if you go to the exhibit, which is in the Transit Museum in Grand Central Terminal, the gallery there, is those 30 finalists are all on display. And they really are spectacular quilts. The grand prize winner was from Amy Kresnansky of Baltimore, Maryland. And her title of her quilt was Time Flies, But We Take the Train. And I'll share with you just a little bit of her story and how she put things together. Her Time Flies, But We Take the Train features New York beauty blocks, an appropriate choice to commemorate the 100th anniversary of Grand Central Terminal, itself an indisputable New York beauty. The beauty blocks are arranged around an eagle and a clock face alluding to the Vanderbilt Eagle and the Grand Central Terminal information booth clock in a whimsical interpretation of the flight of time. Within the blocks, the sequined arches bordered with trapunto recall the windows in the Grand Central Terminal ceiling with their streaming light and carved frames. The figures outside the blocks represent people who have used the terminal over the past 100 years. The quilting motifs include trains, past and present, and oak leaves and acorns, symbols of potential growth, which are found throughout Grand Central Terminal. Both Grand Central Terminal and quilt making declare that beauty and utility belong together. Why miss an opportunity to transfigure the humdrum into something delightful? And I love that story, and her quilt really is spectacular. Share with us how people listening can see all of the finalists. Where can they find those online?
Yeah, so if you can't make it to Grand Central yourself, you are in luck, because you can go to our website, allpeoplequilt.com/887, and you can see all 30 quilts and read everybody's story. You can also see some detail shots of the top 12 quilts on that slideshow. And one of the things I loved about actually the grand prize winner was that it combined so many different quilting techniques, and that actually was kind of a sign of the whole challenge overall. So if you look at some of those 30 quilts online or at the show, you'll notice that, like in Amy's quilt, they've got everything from trapunto to ruching to fabric painting to paper piecing, hand-dyed fabric, and tons of needle-turn applique. So it really just was surprising in a wonderful way to see the breadth of techniques and ideas that people came up with.
Yeah, I think that is terrific. I'll agree. We had the opportunity at a kickoff event opening the exhibit to meet with about 20 of those 30 quilters who were finalists in the event. And what struck me, in addition to the stories that they shared about their quilts, was really the diversity in terms of their experience. Some of those 20 that we met. It was their first visit to Grand Central Terminal, and they had entered the challenge having never been there themselves, just doing some research online about this really iconic institution in New York City. And for others, they had a history of coming through there all the time. They live close to New York, and they were in and out through Grand Central Terminal on a regular basis. I know you learned some other stories about the backgrounds of the quilters.
Well, one thing that I think was also fun in talking to them was some of the people that were from farthest away, they still actually had a connection. Like, they used to live in New York, or their parents grew up there and came through there during wartime. And I think one lady, her grandma met her husband, or her grandma, her mother met her father at Grand Central during the war. Just fun things like that, that you wouldn't think that someone from Ohio or California or Florida would have a connection to Grand Central, but there's something in there. And then others were just inspired by that, the beautiful, the architecture, a lot of that.
As well, I think it was interesting to hear that for some of them, we met finalists who loved entering challenges, and they really sought out different challenges and quilt challenges from a variety of resources because they loved the challenge of being given a set of rules and trying to come up with something that fits the bill for whatever that particular contest is. But by the same token, we met people who this was the first contest that they had ever entered. And I think that's an interesting thing, too, for listeners to think about, whether or not you're a serial challenge enterer or a first-time entrant into something. I mean, we had finalists that came from both categories, and they weren't necessarily all art quilters. Again, they had a diversity of backgrounds.
Yeah, I mean, there were things where people, I think, had challenged themselves to even just try the new techniques or try something different, and that it was kind of another way to challenge themselves as part of a challenge quilt, if you will.
And a diversity in terms of background. Can you share a little bit about you met people who had different jobs and things they did?
Yeah, I think it was fun that some of these people are art quilters and they do this all the time, I think some professionally, while others are, you know, their day jobs are everything from a reporter to, I think, a teacher, an accountant, you know, so it was really fun to see from all walks of life that everyone was inspired by this. There wasn't, you know, we couldn't just pigeonhole one person or one type.
Right. And I think, again, going back to those stories that they shared with us about their quilts, there's another quilt in the exhibit called Chasm 16, Under the Stars. It was the second prize-winning quilt, and it was from Beth Carney, who lives in Yonkers, New York. And hers, I think, when our readers have a chance or listeners have a chance to see that online in the slideshow, it's what you would think of more as sort of an abstract art piece. It's less literal in its translation of what the challenge was. But I'll share with you a little bit about Beth's story as well. Her story was, for years, people from all walks of life, including myself, have passed under the constellation sky in Grand Central Terminal. Having always loved to look up to those constellations, the blue and cream sky with its golden accents became my palette. The layers of tunnels that guide us in our travels and the intricate pathways that move into the city and beyond became the essence of my design as I use motion, color, and line to express my abstract view. The similarity in line between the marble walls above and the dripping cement walls within the tunnels defined the line work as I connected the design of this terminal with its purpose. Watching the patterns of the crowds as they move through the space, weaving in and out, I realized that for 100 years, this magical dance has all happened under those constellations. Oh, if those stars could talk. And I think what struck me the most about issuing this challenge to these quilters and having the culmination of it come together in exhibit was really the magic of Grand Central Terminal. And if you have not had an opportunity to visit there and will be there before July 6th of this year, I would encourage you to go and visit the exhibit. It's a very exciting place. And I would tell you, off of the main concourse, if you just look for the shuttle passageway, that's one of the openings that's marked, and go straight through the shuttle passageway, the Transit Museum Annex is straight ahead of you, and it's right next to the station master's office. It's pretty easy to find. Is there anything else you'd like to share as we wrap this up, Elizabeth?
I just again, it was just great to see so many stories and so many different people enter this contest. And I really encourage everyone, if you, even if you can't get there, go to the website again, allpeoplequilt.com/887, because I think you'll be just as impressed as we were by the wonderful talent and imaginations of our readers.
Well, thanks for sharing your time and expertise today, and I hope all of you have a chance to either visit the exhibit in person.
Hi, this is Pat again. Don't you just love stories like this where Elizabeth and Jennifer went out and met the winners of the Grand Central Terminal competition and they learned about them? I have to tell you that on the Wall Street Journal, they have an article for on March 16th, 2014 about the competition, and they show, you know, some pictures of the gallery where they're all hanging, so you can get an idea and a feel for what that looks like. There were a set of fabrics that City Quilter, where you can visit cityquilter.com and read about this. City Quilter designed the fabric and were partners with American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine to host the challenge. Of the all the entries, there were 3 winners, 9 honorable mentions, 18 finalists. They represented 15 states, and the 30 quilts that are exhibited are in a hall or an area that I think it was Jennifer was telling you about, just off of the Grand Central Terminal. Now, I've been to the terminal last time I was in New York City, and that was my first and only time I've been there, and it is something I want to go see again because it was so spectacular and it's very large. I mean, I was, we actually walked from one other place and stopped in, so I didn't sort of arrive there on the train or anything, but I just thought it was an incredible place. There is great places to eat. We ate at a very old sort of the diner-ish kind of thing where they had the most fabulous seafood. It had like those old sort of diner. You sit down and the wait staff comes all the way down to the end, like old-fashioned diners. I just love those kind of things. Now, the fabric is still available from cityquilter.com, so you can go to their website or visit them when you're in New York City, and you could pick up some of this fabric. It has the constellations. It also has like different shades. There's some blue. There's some natural colors. It's all really, really pretty. The quilts that they were describing, I also really liked the Beth Carney's Under the Stars, the very contemporary piece. It has got gorgeous movement, and just once you hear what it's about, you can see it. You can see these long, thin lines that just look like people moving through the terminal when you do like a fast speed. It's very cool. So we'll be back with another segment for today. So hold on. Be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Podcast. I'm Pat Sloan, and Kelly Lee Creel is a designer and an author, and she makes super fun projects. Really, really fun. She is out blogging and writing on her site called everkelly.com. And, you know, she wrote a book called It's Handmade Hostess. And who doesn't love a party? You know, for sure you want to have a cute party if you're going to have a party. And Kelly and her sister, Rebecca Souder, wrote a book with all you need to do to have a cute party. So welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Pat. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I just, you know, I love your book. The two of you did an excellent job.
Thank you so much. That means a lot coming from you.
Oh, it's just a gorgeous book. Not, you know, everything about it. The whole concept, you know, it's got like sewing and other sort of decorating. But let's just first do a little backstory. How long have you been sewing?
I've been sewing a little over 10 years.
Okay. So not from birth exactly, but.
Not from birth, no. My mom taught me how to sew. Mm-hmm. And she tried to teach me sooner than that, but my mom's a real perfectionist. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of me watching her fix my mistakes.
Oh, no.
She was kind of, you know, come sit by me and then, oh, no, no, stop. Let me fix that for you. So it wasn't until I kind of got out on my own that I really feel like I can say, okay, yes, that was me sewing.
Yes. So a few years back, I can totally relate to your story where you just sort of took a leap of faith to work for yourself. And that does takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, thank you. It was kind of one of those things you always hope to have like a really sound plan before you leap out into the unknown. And sometimes life just doesn't work that way and you have to kind of go out and blaze a trail and cross your fingers a little bit. So yeah, it was kind of, it was exciting, but scary.
Yes. Yeah. I can totally relate because I did a very similar thing. So I know I can remember it's like, oh, okay, let's just jump off the roof. It'll be fine. We'll learn to fly on the way down. Right.
Exactly.
So the book, who came up with the idea? You or your sister, or is it something that just sort of happened when you two were together, the idea for it?
You know, it was definitely a joint effort. At the time, Rebecca had, well, she still has two small children, mm-hmm. and she was starting to really get involved in doing holiday crafts with them, you know, mm-hmm. planning Halloween costumes and also doing birthday parties and things like that. Yeah. And it was a really cool way for the two of us to reconnect and to do some planning together. And we realized that a lot of that stuff that we had been learning as kids that my parents did, because they were super creative, mm-hmm. Was so much more involved than we had ever realized because mom and dad made it look really, really easy. Mm-hmm. So we thought it would be fun to kind of do a book that was a whole treasury of a year's worth of ideas. And it was really, I think I kind of pushed her into making a book about it, but it was, you know, it was a collaboration the whole way through. So it was really fun.
And I love how you open your foreword from the two of you. It just touched my heart. It says, this book is a love letter. Can you tell me a little bit about the thought of how you presented the book to your family that you were going to write?
Yeah, we really wanted to kind of capture that specialness of around our family gatherings. And that was kind of one of the ways that mom had always shown how much she loved us was just by her creativity. She would sew or decorate or bake these special things. And so we wanted to do that in a way that really honored our parents. Mm-hmm. And it was just absolutely a family affair. I don't think I realized that when we started, but we needed their help every step of the way. You know, mom and dad were there babysitting at all of our photo shoots. Dad got roped into helping out with some projects. So there's a really pretty backdrop that we made for the cover that has all of these parasols on it. And mm-hmm. that was something Dad and I did in the garage together. You know, some of the recipes are Mom's, so mm-hmm. it was really, you know, everyone ended up participating in some way.
I think that is just the coolest thing to read. You know, I just really encourage people to read the forewords from the author, because you would miss that if you didn't read it. It's just, it's so lovely. So tell me, Kelly, this is parties. And so you have parties that go through the four seasons. When we do each season, like let's say the Valentine's Day party, what kind of thing goes into each of these sort of chapters? I'll call them a chapter.
Okay. Yeah, so it is, like you said, divided into seasons, and there are 12 chapters, and each chapter is either, like you say, a party, like a theme party, maybe for a kid's birthday, or Valentine's Day, like a holiday. Mm-hmm. So each chapter has 3 to 4 projects in it. Not okay. all of them are sewing, but it's mm-hmm. definitely sewing focused, a lot of fabric projects. Mm-hmm. And then each chapter also has a recipe, because my sister Rebecca, that's her special gift is baking.
Mm. Love that. You must be happy recipients of her special gifts, her baking.
Yes, we all love we all love being related to Rebecca.
Yes.
And so one of the things about the chapters that we tried to do is we really wanted people to see how to pull together the whole look. Mm-hmm. So we tried to slip in even little extra ideas and projects. So at the start of each chapter, like, for example, St. Patrick's Day, which we just had mm-hmm. a few weeks ago, we tried to slip in a lot of little extra entertaining ideas, just even in the photos themselves.
And the photography is amazing. Did you do some of it yourself, since it's all sort of propped out?
This is my husband. I started out saying that I would do the photos, because I really do enjoy taking pictures. Mm-hmm. Just as an amateur, I really love doing that for the blog and things like that. But when we started, it was just so apparent that he was so much better at it than any of us were. So he kind of got roped into it, and I think he ended up having a pretty good time with it. So,
well, I loved how, if we'll just talk about the St. Patrick's Day one, you have a whole tablescape, so there's all these kind of projects, and then you have like little favors. So, like if you were hosting the party, there's little favors for people, and then the leprechaun clothing banner. How did you come up with that? That is so adorable.
Well, as kids, Rebecca and I were just obsessed with the idea of finding little fairies or leprechauns. Rebecca used to make little leprechaun villages outside in the backyard.
Oh.
And so we were remembering how much fun that was, and we thought it would be fun if, you know, the leprechaun left his little clothes behind. So I had some very nice weeks there where I sat around and just sewed little tiny leprechaun socks and shirts and bow ties.
Oh, that's so funny. It's perfect. It's just totally perfect. So what is your favorite project in the book? You're allowed to say. Well, I won't tell
okay.
anybody.
Well, for me, it's the fabric flowers that I made. And I think I don't know if you've ever had this happen where you have an idea for a project and it's really clear in your head what you want it to look like, but you're not totally sure that you can pull it off. And so the fabric flowers for me was one of those projects where I made it and it looked just exactly like I thought it was going to, and I was so excited. They're large-scale fabric flowers that you could use for like a backdrop or a centerpiece. Mm-hmm. And for a couple weeks, my sewing room was like a pretend fabric or pretend flower shop. Mm-hmm. I brought in actual flowers from the yard, and I looked at how they were constructed, and I was experimenting with interfacing and things like that, and it was so much fun, because, you know, it worked, which doesn't always happen with sewing. So
no, and they are absolutely incredibly beautiful. They're white in the book, because they were for a bridal shower, I believe, right? Yeah. So
yes.
But they're not just big, they're gigantic. You know, they're like the size of a laundry basket. They're huge, maybe not quite that big, but how many layers of fabric, and did you use any stiffeners in the long run?
I did. I used a lightweight fusible interfacing, and it's actually less fabric than you would think. There are 10 petals total, and each one has 2 layers of fabric. So it was really just an experiment to find kind of that right magic combination of interfacing. But I also have made them scaled down because in the back of the book are all of the patterns. And so if you enlarge them, you get the big flower. But if you just use it just exactly as it's printed, you end up with a smaller flower that could be used for a lot of different things. I recently taught a class, and it was really cool because people were picking their own fabric combinations because obviously they don't need to be white. And people were talking about maybe using them to decorate a Christmas tree. So there's a lot of stuff that you could do with it.
That's really neat. Decorating a tree, you could do them in just so many wonderful fabrics that could be converted. That pattern alone should sell your book. That is so cool.
Oh, thank you.
Besides all the other great stuff in there. You do a lot with felt, Kelly. Do you have some tips for working with felt?
Yes. I really enjoy felt, but I had trouble when I first started using it. And what I found is it's really all about cutting out that perfect shape. If you do a good job preparing your fabrics and everything, then I think you get a better result. So for me, it's about freezer paper, because freezer paper is kind of like wax paper, where the waxy part is only on one side. And if you trace your pattern onto the freezer paper and then fuse it onto the felt using a kind of a low setting, because you don't want to melt the felt, you get a really crisp shape when you cut it out. And to me, I think it's almost like magic. It's hard to have your project not turn out when you start out with that really good shape.
Oh, so I have a question there. Are you like cutting the shape, let's say it's a leaf. So you're cutting the leaf the exact size and then pressing it to the felt, or do you have paper on either side of the drawn line of the leaf?
Paper on either side. That's important.
Okay, so it's stabilized. You're cutting through paper and felt to get your shape.
Yeah.
Okay. Kelly, this has been so wonderful.
Thank you so much, Pat.
Now, I must tell everybody to go visit you at everkelly.com and see what Kelly Lee Creel is up to. And tell your sister, Rebecca, that she did a fabulous job.
Thank you. I will.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Show, which is podcasted. You can go out and pick up all the shows. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. This show is brought to you by the Moda Bake Shop. So you can go out and pick up all kinds of free and fun patterns at their site. Visit American Patchwork and Quilting at allpeoplequilt.com. They have a blog and all kinds of other things you can follow. You can visit me, Pat Sloan, at patsloan.com. And I will see you back here next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks.